if not every meeting runs smoothly. A couple of wee things. As chair, any item on the agenda, whenever a councillor speaks on that item, I will not be permitting them in again after another councillor has spoke. So he or she needs to say what they have to say in that particular item. So they do, because I will not be letting councillors in two or three times, and hopefully that will speed the meeting up. Secondly, I hope that all councillors show their colleagues a bit of respect when that particular councillor is speaking, because in the past we have seen councillors talking amongst each other and that, and talking over each other when someone is maybe trying to talk or trying to talk on an issue, and that's bad manners. So it is. So if you're going to talk over each other and talk with each other, take it outside. And thirdly, hopefully during the year we can treat our officers with respect when we're dealing with them and that. And the other issues that I have here under Chairman's remarks is the community safety wardens will be back on the street with nighttime patrols 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. from Saturday the 17th of June in Newry, Downpatrick, Warren Point and Kilkeel. Daytime evening patrols will be scheduled over the coming weeks, and this information will be circulated when available. The second item I have is congratulations to John O'Hanlon, Newry Leisure Centre, who retires this month after 40 years service with the council. Could I ask that we send a letter to him? Thirdly, committee members to be made aware of the ongoing essential maintenance at Newry Leisure Centre in the leisure pool area, which will remain unavailable to customers until the weekend of the 24th of June. And on the agenda, we have an item, financial assistance. Right, I know a number of groups maybe didn't get. Rather than open it up to debate, there's a process to go through, so there is for them groups. Anyone that has a problem, get them to contact the council through Janine, and that will be taken forward, because if we open that up, everybody will have someone here who didn't get through the financial assistance scheme. So I would encourage you to tell them groups to go through the proper channels, because there is appeals procedures there in place. So there is. So that's everything under Chairman's remarks. Action sheets. Declarations of interest. Action sheets. We'll go through it by page. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Councillor Henry.
As far as I know, Councillor, that is in progress, and I'll chase that up for you tomorrow.
Page 6.
Chair, with your indulgence, any further news on the Disability Sports Hub project?
It's in progress.
Yes, Chair. We did take that report through, which detailed the hub, which is going to be based in Newry, and we can confirm that the equipment will be portable, so it can be transferred through the district.
Page 7. page 8, page 9, page 10. Right, councillors, we're going to take first. We'll take item 4 first, then we will go on to item 30. To agree the start time for the meetings from June to May next year, this committee starts at 6 p.m. Are we happy to keep it at that? Right. Proposed by Councillor Burns, seconded by Councillor Brown, that we keep it at 6 o'clock. We will now go to item 30, the Community Trail SLA, Orney.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this came out of a meeting a few months ago where I was asked to develop a detailed SLA with Outdoor Recreation NI for the community trail plans. At that time, a number of issues were raised by a number of councillors on the committee, and we believe this SLA addresses that. So, Chair, the SLA is attached. I don't propose to take everybody through it. We have discussed this on a number of occasions now, so as I understand it, Chair, all the issues which members have raised have been taken care of in this SLA, and we just want permission, the budget is there, we want permission to push on now and start developing these community plans.
Proposed by Councillor Burns, second by Councillor McMurray. Item 5, the Directorate Business Plan, and you have your copy attached there for noting, but Michael, take that one.
Thank you, Chair. The Directorate Business Plan is attached. This is an updated version of the one you had last year. Obviously, we've tweaked and changed some of the key objectives and the performance measures for the department over the next 12 months. We'll be reporting to this to you, progress against this plan over the coming year. So, Chair, it's there for members' comment or for approval.
Councillor Burns, opposed. Councillor Andrews, seconds for voting anyway. Item 6, the financial assistance review, the copy is attached. As I've said, that if anyone has any problems with it or any groups out there, to contact Janine, and that there is an appeals process there that can be worked through. So I would encourage people to get them to make contact if they're not happy with the officers of the council. So happy enough?
Yeah, sure. So just to clarify, the process is email Janine, then they do the debrief, ask them for the debrief, then they do the debrief, and then after the debrief, they can decide whether they want to
pay. Yes. Yes. Happy enough then, folks? I'm going to hand over to Janine here in relation to the report.
Okay, members, this is a review of the financial assistance process. We agreed in the third year of the financial assistance, we made a commitment both publicly and here in committee that we would review the process and try and come back with recommendations based on feedback from elected members and from the community voluntary sector, just to try and reduce bureaucracy and make it a bit more user-friendly. All of the recommendations are contained within the body of the report. The main one we're drawing your attention to is a proposal as a long-term objective that we investigate an online grant management system, as this is the only recommendation that has a resource implication. And we would be hoping if we could prioritise it as part of the Council's IT strategy and try and resource that through any identified underspends or in the rates process for next year. So, Chair, I need approval then to implement the short-term and long-term recommendations in terms of financial assistance, to investigate the introduction of the grant management system and also to update members on financial assistance call 2, which is going out next week. In the body of the report, it mentions a sports development grant that will be delayed and go out in call 3.
Any questions on that? Brian?
Somebody else's lights on. Yes, quite. I think it's very desirable for us to move towards an online grant management system. Will we be considering giving groups something? And because there are some groups that aren't very computer okay, and once again, we do have black spots out there in the community where community groups just don't have computer access. I'm thinking particularly of some of our rural areas in South Armagh, the Mourns.
Yes, the grant management system, the proposal is as a long-term objective, which would allow us to go out and work with groups to skill them up to use the system, but we wouldn't be proposing it doing away with the paper system. We would have a dual system, so groups would have the option.
Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. I welcome a lot of these reforms. Certainly, I think one or two of them came on the foot of a motion I put before Council that was referred. And in particular, the cash flow issue of community groups being able to get 80% of a grant in advance and bringing us in line with other funders is very welcome, because it's extremely difficult for residents' associations or small community groups to find several thousand pounds to pay out before they can reclaim from council. I just want to be reassured that the other big issue that community groups had of not being told in time or only hearing about the grant a week or two before the festival was supposed to take place has now been eliminated, and that this proposal does ensure that community groups will know in good time. And if that is okay, then I'd be happy to propose this report, Chairperson.
Through the chair, yes, we acknowledge the concerns around groups maybe who were trying to run events at Easter time and that funding wasn't on the ground in time for that. So one of the proposals within the recommendations is that we look for agreement from committee for call one to go out early in the calendar year, and therefore we would have letters of offer out immediately within the new financial year. So that means we would have grant aid available all year round.
Councillor Burns.
Sure, yeah, it's just something that we don't see in the, mentioned in the implementation for the short term and also in the medium term, is an issue that we raised about the scheme, and particularly the capital side of the scheme, is where clubs, sports and organisations that have certain expertise within their own grasp can use that as an in-kind contribution. So if they have bricklayers, plumbers, you know, that they can use the plumber's expertise free of charge and counter off that against the match funding aspect. So if they can get £70,000 worth of building material done on a £100,000 grant application, they only need to find £30,000 to match fund it. And that was something we said we would look at. It was missing from this one, the first one, but we said we'd look at it moving into the second one. Can we see if that can be added into it? Because it would make a tremendous amount of difference to how far that the money that we provide to clubs goes.
Chair, again, I know you raised this at the last meeting. We have included it as the second recommendation. Maybe it needs rewording or strengthened in some way. So we're saying council recognising preliminary works and in-kind contributions by groups as potential match funding. If you're happy, we could meet afterwards and make it a different form of words around that.
I don't care what the words are.
Okay.
I think Councillor Henry proposed, didn't you? Councillor Enright opposed, Councillor Burns second. Janine's taking the next one. It's the SHSSB use of Cross McGlen Community Centre. You have a copy attached.
Chair, this is a report advising members that we have had a long-standing arrangement with the Trust, and they rent premises from us for the use of part of Cross McGlen Community Centre. It's over, the agreement's over 30 years old. They have approached us to review that. And we have been working with them and got a valuation from LPS to come up with a revised figure. The Trust are happy with the revised figure, and I know in the body of the report it says that this report will also be going to FDNR. It won't now, it will only be tabled at AHC, so it's for committee to decide whether they want to enter into this new agreement with the Trust. The impact for Council obviously is a reduced income within Crossing Glen Community Centre, but we'll try and overcome that as the year goes on.
Proposed by Barrett, seconded by Councillor Fitzpatrick. All in agreement? Item 8 is Janine's again. Insurance requirements for groups using community centres.
Chair, this is an issue that's been raised in the DEA forums also. It's a requirement for some centres that council owns that users produce up to £5 million of insurance whenever they're booking facilities. A lot of these insurance requirements are in place because of legacy arrangements, so we're trying to align what we are asking our user groups to produce. And we're suggesting, therefore, that members need to decide whether to remove the requirement for user groups to produce evidence of £5 million insurance when booking council-owned facilities. We obviously keep the exception in there where there's educational classes, training, coaching sessions or advice services because they're higher risk. And also the community associations that we have an agreement with to run our premises, we require them to have an element of insurance also, and it's whether members want to decide to keep that £5 million public liability employers liability insurance to cover their usage, so they also wouldn't be asking users to produce their own insurance. And exceptions again would be to increase the premium where they're going to run high hazard activities such as bouncy castles, creches, nurseries. Obviously, Chair, any proposals to reduce the risk on the indemnity levels of user groups will have an increased risk for council. We've met with the insurers. They've provided us with guidance which is included in the body of the report, but it's also been explained that this is council's decision to make. And that's it, Chair. We need agreement around those two recommendations. Well, they're not recommendations. It's what the committee wants to decide in terms of assurance requirements.
Councillor Traynor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman, I think that we need to continue with an idea of a common sense approach here. We don't want to deter community groups or associations from using council facilities, and we do want to increase the footfall in our centres. I think in the last decision we would have the community centre in Cross McGlen. Possibly, if there wasn't a need for the £5 million insurance, we may still be able to get the full across the door, which would make up the sort of shortfall that we're talking about. So I think it's a common sense approach, taking into consideration low-risk activities, which may not need the insurance that we are putting in place, and then maybe using an incremental level after that. But I think we just need to make sure we get this right. We need to make sure it's common sense and that we are ensuring that we're empowering community groups and associations.
No one else. Do we have a proposal here that we accept the recommendation? No.
Sure. Chair, if it assists the committee, our view is that we should remove the requirement for user groups to produce evidence of £5 million insurance when they're using our facilities. And it's also our recommendation that members decide that those groups that are running council-owned facilities on the council's behalf should have a minimum of £5 million insurance cover, liability and employers, because they will be responsible for groups using it, and if unfortunately there was something to go wrong, that group would be sued, so they'd need to have their cover. They're running and managing that building. Now we're building their capacity to help them with that, and helping them with funding and so on. So that's what we believe the committee should decide, but it's up to you, obviously.
Go ahead. Just most, what the community centres we would work with now are would be people who actually approach bouncy Kelty hire companies themselves and bring them in. They don't actually own Bouncy Castle, whereas the companies coming in also have to prove that they have the public liability insurance to the community associations. So I was wondering, like, say there are 10 million, that sort of isn't fair on the ones that don't own, because an inflatable is not something that's used every week. It could be once every 3 months. So it's a bit steep that way.
Just as a state councillor, I've seen examples of things in my own area where you have the hire company coming in with the bouncy castles, you're right. They already have their own insurance in relation to it. So it's no cost to the community group because that's built into it. So it is. Have we factored that in?
Yes, Chair. I mean, where a community association is running a building on our behalf, a council premise, we are asking them at the minute to produce evidence of up to £5 million liability. If they decide they want to run Bouncy Castles and hire in birthday parties and hiring Bouncy Castles. It's a long weekend. Then we're asking them that council is considering that they will need £10 million public liability insurance. And our insurers are advising us that that's not a great leap in terms of the premium. As it says in the report, the insurers has given us guidance. It's up to the council to decide what level of requirement you're going to ask the groups. Some community associations may decide they're not having bouncy castles and therefore they only require the £5 million. Or you may decide as a committee tonight that regardless of whether a community association is going to have bouncy castles, they still only need to produce evidence of £5 million.
Well, councillors, you've heard the officers. Councillor Emery.
Just from my own practical experience, I think the norm is £5 million for any sort of children-related activity. I know that when we wanted to run GCSE classes for P7 students in my school, we had to produce insurance of £5 million, and we weren't doing anything particularly dangerous, you know. I think it's just the norm now. It's gone up. It used to be 2, but I think it's now 5.
Chair, the £10 million would only be applicable if the group decides to get their own bouncy castle or inflatable of any description that they're going to use in the centre and run it and manage it themselves. The councillors are quite right. In the majority of cases, you hire a company to come in and do that, and it's covered by their insurance, so therefore they wouldn't require moving their own insurance up to £10 million. So I think, as Councillor Trainor said earlier on, this is about the common sense approach to this. We're not going to ask them for £10 million if the company's covering to that value already. So it's more about, I think, Castle Welland Community Partnership have it, their own bouncy castle, for example, I think. Yeah, so they need £10 million because they have their own bouncy castle and they're managing it themselves. That's different than bringing someone in. Yeah.
Councillor Burns proposed. Do we have a seconder? All in agreement? Item 9, which is Janine again, the play inflatables.
Sorry, Chair. Yes, back to bouncy castles. Just can't leave them alone. This is the policy and procedures for use of play inflatables in council premises or on council ground or where we're going to provide funding for a group to hire in bouncy castles. The recommendation is to adopt the draft play inflatables policy and procedures and roll out training for council staff and the community voluntary sector representatives, because obviously it's a new set of procedures and quite a great deal of risk involved if we don't manage it properly.
Right, you've heard a proposal second. All in favour? Item 10, the proposed community facility for Ballykilner. Michael.
Chair, the committee will be aware that we have money set aside in the capital programme for a community facility at Ballykinler on the site of the old Kendall Primary School. We, as part of the development of the new high school, have agreed to sell some land to the Department of Education and the Education Authority for access to that school. As part of that, the building, which is the old fire service building, has to be moved. The fire service moved out of there a number of years ago. Through discussions with them, they've agreed to sell that on to the council at a nominal value, i.e. £1. Subject to the committee's approval, we would propose to get a structural survey carried out to make sure that that building can be moved. If it can be moved, we would propose to site it on the site of the old Kendall Primary School once the purchase of that is complete. So,
Councillor Traynor,
I'd like to propose, Chairman. Sorry, I think that the light's on, so if I can have the light on, I can propose it then, sir. I'd like to propose it and also welcome it. I suppose Ballykinler is an area which has needed a community facility for so long, and this has been a fight that's been happening over years, well before my time in council, and has been fought by many councillors now and in the Legacy Council, and it's great to see that there's some progress being made with providing a facility for them. I suppose the big thing here for me is that this be maybe seen as a temporary solution, and that we continue to still look for a long-term solution, and with that I'm happy to propose this.
Right. I totally agree with you, Councillor. This has been something that's been ongoing, you know, for a number of years, and you know, Councillor Curran was always to the forefront of this, and I'm sure he'll be happy. But I totally agree on what you're saying. You know, this is maybe only the start for something to happen in Ballykinler, because it's long overdue. I have to say it's long overdue. Councillor Henry, did you say you were seconding the proposal?
Councillor Walker.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Andrews.
Just one is, I would like to concur with the previous speaker's remarks. I know Councillor Conn with others have worked tirelessly to and lobbied to get facilities for Ballykinler, and as I say, it's good to see another step in the right direction, and I'm only too happy to second the proposal.
Councillor Burns, could I just say it's probably a bit dissatisfactory that, you know, we've got to the stage where Kendall Primary School, which was a much more suitable building for a community centre, has had to be knocked to the ground, and what we're replacing it with is something that's totally inadequate. So, I mean, the officers have done a good job to get us to this stage. It's just a shame that we knocked down a good building to replace it with something that I'm sure everybody in this chamber will agree is a temporary solution. So, with that in mind, could I suggest that we try to site, I mean, it's quite a large site, we try to site this building away from any potential new building, if you will. If we were going to site a new community centre and money was no object, and the glorious grant from heaven came down with, you know, everything else hanging on all down, and we'd put the new facility right smack bang in the middle. So could we not set this right in the middle, because hopefully in years to come we'll have to move it. So let's leave it at the side of the site if it's possible.
You want to come in there?
Sure, that's absolutely right. The plan is that we will do exactly that, that we will assist the group in seeking grant funding to build a sports hall, for example, into another building. So eventually new builds will overtake. So that is exactly the plan.
Okay, you've heard the proposal and second. All in agreement? Right. Item 11 is for noting, and it's Janine's, it's the update report on the logistical support for events 2016-2017. Right. That'd be enough. Item 12. Is Janine's again, the Piece 4 action plan?
Yes, Chair, the Piece 4 reports would have normally went to SPNR, they're now coming through active and healthy communities. So it's to update the committee on progress so far in relation to the Piece 4 grant of over £4 million. And for them to note, for the committee to note, previous agreement by the partnership to formally appoint the PCSP and the Education Authority as partner delivery agents. And we have the minutes of the meetings in for members' information also.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. First of all, it's
it's good to hear a good news story that we've received a grant of over £4 million for its Beyond Tolerance Local Action Plan. And as I say, it's good to see that the Education Authority and PCSP are going to come on board as partner delivery agents again. A lot of hard work has been done with our officers and with the Peace Corps partnership. And as I know, I'm only too happy to propose that we go ahead with this recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Byrne, second it. Proposed by Councillor Andrews. The next one, item 13, is for noting as well the South Armagh Southdown Peace Centre. Copy attached. Happy enough. And 14 is the same for noting the European Rural Network for Job Mobility. Happy enough. Oops. 15 is for noting as well the Social Investment Fund Work It Training and Employment Project. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And again, I welcome this paper, but I'm wondering, I know on previous occasions we spoke about providing additional rural refuge collectors and street cleansers and everything and parks staff. You know, I'm just wondering, would the council be able to buy into the Social Investment Fund Work It Training and Employment? Because at the moment, we have a lot of people who aren't in work and would love to work. And I'm just wondering, would the council avail of the Social Investment Fund to get people into work through some of the departments that would need work labourers at the month?
Chair, yes, so the council is delivering this programme, so it is a good news story for us. I'll maybe refer to Ciara here if you're happy enough to talk about the decision around.
Yeah,
Could I just ask, how do young people or people know about this scheme?
The working scheme was advertised through local press, right, and also through network personnel as well. There has been, through the Social Investment Fund, there has been a variety of recruitment methods. Now, because it is a tender award, so although we are the managerial organisation, it would be the service delivery organisation that would be responsible for all the recruitment, etc. It does fall slightly outside of tribal boundaries, so it doesn't cover, it covers Uri, Moore, Coleraine, and right up to Cole Island, so it has been ongoing for a number of years, so that may be why, particularly in the Down area, it hasn't been as well publicised as maybe in Uri area.
Right, thank you very much. Everybody happy? Item 16, Michael, take us to Skinfield Community Centre Project.
Chair, again, this is another item that came from the SPNR committee. Members will know that this has been discussed at length at that committee and at full council meetings. And I note a light already, Chair. So I don't propose to hold this up. And it's proposed that the committee approve the business cases I've outlined.
Councillor Brown.
Thanks, Michael. As one of those people that was involved in the discussions at length, certainly in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, but this is something that's been going on long before possibly I was even born, I think, the idea for the Skinfield Community Centre was floating about, and it's fantastic to finally see it almost reach fruition. I very much welcome and would like to propose the officer's report. Really, these business cases look great. I've had a read through them. They're telling us what the community in Stainfield already knew, and that's that having both pitches there and having the community build facility were economically viable. And there is no need to chop and change or trade off one pitch against the other, which was the situation we were sitting in for a while. So I'm very pleased that Michael and his team have been able to go away and get these business cases that have stacked up the arguments for having both pitches for both the football and sports clubs. I shouldn't say hockey clubs, but the hockey club as well. Sports pitch to benefit from. So thank you very much, Michael, for bringing this forward in your department. Also to Tom McLean and Justina McCabe for pushing the project forward at every opportunity. Also Stephen McClellan for providing this excellent business case. But particularly want to pay tribute to the community members who have tirelessly driven this scheme forward. And without whom, particularly those members of the sports club and the Stainfield Development Association, without them this project probably would have lost momentum a long time ago. So just wanted to point out their fantastic effort. Stainfield's probably the largest town in Northern Ireland without a community centre, so this facility is much needed, has been hard won, and will be much used, as the business case suggests.
Councillor Burns.
Not many thank yous. I thought Terry was done. I like the statistic of the same thing being the largest town. No research, of course. No, Chair, we are obviously in support and have been in support of Stainfield long before councillor was a councillor. This project has been, I remember when I first became a councillor, it was sitting alongside Newcastle and Dunpatrick, and Dunpatrick's nearly built and Newcastle was still trying to think about it. So it's wonderful that the Stainfield has got to this stage, and the business case looks good. It mightn't have been the all-encompassing first that we would have loved to deliver, but there's a realistic project now on the table that can go forth to the next process, and we'll be happily to support it, and I'll second the proposal.
Councillor Andrews, don't worry, I haven't got a litany of thanks here, but again, it's to pay tribute to all, to everybody who's worked tirelessly over the years, and there's been a lot of patience and understanding, and you know, and there's been a lot of setbacks along the way too. But the resilience and the determination of the people, though, and bouncing back, you know, and it's good to see that we're now firmly, the roadmap is on the table, and we're now moving forward. And as I said, I look forward to seeing the plan burn fruition in the not too distant future, whenever we're able to say that our facilities are open. Again, everybody involved deserves a pat on the back. So, thanks.
And I just would echo them sentiments. I've been a councillor 13 years and it's been on the agenda, so it has. And as I say, I've seen the hard work that our officers has put in, the community has put in, but our officers over the last year and a half have went the extra mile. They really have went the extra mile. You know, we've had meetings and had meetings, and you know, people do get frustrated in that, but the officers worked through it, so they did. We're coming out now the other end, and hopefully it'll be all systems going. There's one good thing, it's good to see it, the planning applications in for the 2G pitch to start. I think it's going in as an approval. I think it's an approval. So it is. In relation to that. So it means to say that aspect of it can start once the application goes through the proper channels within the planning committee, and then we'll move that part of it forward, and then we will concentrate on the Belfast Road. But I also want to commend you as well in relation to it. Item 7, all in agreement, the proposals, think, right? Item 17 and 18 are for noting the DEA update and the PCSP update. Happy enough.
Going to check up.
19, the lease of land at 16 the square of Trevor for men's shed.
Thank you, Chair. Members are asked to note the contents of this report on the lease of 16 the square and agree to a 1-year extension of the license agreement to the men's shed at a peppercorn rent. This is an outstanding legacy issue. There are a number of proposals which we are working through with the men's shed, and we hope to have further announcements in this in the near future. So.
Mr. Burns?
There's been some great work on that area. Absolutely. Happy to propose.
Propose. Do you have a seconder?
Councillor Moore.
Good. All in agreement?
Yes.
Item 20. The play strategy. Update. Ruled. Well, take this one.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Members, this is really an update for yourselves. You obviously have approved the play strategy, so three key areas of the recommendations here is that the Council agree to undertake a tender process to appoint a contractor for the design, supply and installation of your fixed play equipment. Second recommendation, that the play consultant would now commence consultation on the delivery of the strategy recommendations, and also that we commence the non-fixed play recommendations within each DEA and agree that with the DEA coordinator for the locations.
I'd wanted to propose this, but also would like to say that there's clarification maybe sent out to DEA for us, so that there's no misunderstanding, whatever. Because of the amalgamation or removal of facilities or whatever, so that's fully and made very clear of exactly what's happening. I know they have to go to consultancy level before, you know, they have to go and talk to the people before any decisions are made, but if we made that perfectly clear. Delighted to see this is now here. I just wish it was further on. Well done, team. Got this far. It's only took you 4 years. No, Michael, when it's done and delivered, I will then say thank you. Till then, keep at it. Thank you.
All right. Councillor Burns, did you want to?
It's okay. Neither did Billy.
I'll be the second.
All in agreement? Item 21. The Clubmark NI.
Okay, Chair. Again, a detail of the report is there. It's essentially hopefully an additional service and the good news that the Council will be able to work with Sport and I to offer this service to our clubs. So the recommendation is that we proceed with the Clubmark NI online scheme as detailed, and that we would deliver that through our resources once they're implemented.
Sure, Councillor Bunks. Happy to propose, but could I suggest that could we write out to all the clubs whose club mark status has lapsed? A lot of the clubs applied for a club mark, I think, last 3 years, and they don't realise that it is actually. I mean, I spoke to a few of them, and they thought once they got a club mark, they had it for life. They need to continue to update. It's a hell of an undertaking to get club mark status. It's not very hard to keep it once you have it, but they've a bit of an update to do. So if you could just include them in any correspondence, so then they know they need to update.
Councillor Trainer.
Chairperson, just like the second, and also endorse what Councillor Burns has just said as well. It's a need and it's a must.
All in agreement? 22 Sports NI grants. Rowan's taking this one again.
Yes, Chair. The detail again within the report shows that Sport and I would like to, for the Council to facilitate this process of awarding £46,500 to our clubs and organisations within our district area. Recommendation is that we do proceed and that this is delivered through the Programmes Unit. Example of previous year's Sport and I awards is contained within the appendix.
Chair Burns, Chair proposed, far better doing it in house with more control.
Seconded by Councillor McMurray. All in agreement? Item 23, deletion and purchase of council land. Rowan will take this one.
Yes, Chair. Not too long ago, in April 2017, the committee had considered requests which had come in from various clubs and organisations looking to lease and purchase land. Subsequent to that, at the same time, the Strategic Projects Working Group were considering the development of the asset management strategy. So we're not changing the original recommendations, which are that we proceed with the legacy requests which were being dealt with. Any other organisation should be offered a 3 to 5 year lease until the development of the asset management strategy, with the only exception being where these organisations have the potential to draw down external funding, then that should be brought back to this committee for consideration should you wish to extend it past the 3 to 5 years.
Hold the counsellor. Friends, we have a seconder. Barrett, a second. All in agreement. Item 24, the loose FFE for new Down Leisure Centre, and the copies attached.
Again, Chair, this relates to the equipment essentially that we need to deliver the service within the new Down Leisure Centre, which isn't provided by the contractor. So we seek your approval to commence that procurement process and then report that through to the Director for Corporate Services to be included in the capital programme as a spend against that facility.
Chair, proposed to not have an empty leisure
centre. And second by Councillor Taylor, opposed by Councillor Bourne, second by Councillor Tipps. Councillor Traynor.
Chairperson, just checking. I know obviously I'm not big into the sittings and things like that. I'm just wondering though, however, would we have not known about what would have been needed for the centre at the start of the project? And would this not have been a figure that we could have had at the start of the project rather than coming through now whilst we're coming through the project?
I don't disagree with you, Councillor, but I know that when we've considered the capital projects and the award to the contractors, it's always been separated out. So this wasn't included in the capital budget. It was the same for Newry, so we went through the exact same process for Newry Leisure Centre.
Yep, Chair, I think that's absolutely right. And then when with budget constraints and things were tight and budgets were squeezed, I think in legacy council terms, yeah. I mean, the main reason it's not in the contract is if you ask the contractor to supply and fit out this kit, they charge you 7.5-10% on top of the cost, so you never put it in as part of the contract that you have with the developer. So.
Happy enough, councillors. Item 25... It's for noting NLC Phase 2 transitioner arrangements.
Yes, Chair. Again, the details set out in the report. We went through a transition as previously when we changed from Newry Swimming Pool to Newry Leisure Centre Phase 1, so we followed the same process. The recommendations are that once we close the Newry Sports Centre, once we get handed over the building of the Phase 2, we allow a 14-day period for key aspects to be undertaken, and then we also tie in the marketing plan for that to develop a soft launch to test all the features before we open to members of the public. So it'll be 14-day closure.
Have we enough? Yes. Item 26, New Down Leisure Centre operating arrangements, and Roland will take that one.
Again, as we know, the New Down Leisure Centre, the construction is well underway. This committee or the council hasn't considered how you wish to operate the facility as of yet. What we've done is we've tied our recommendations back to the indoor leisure business plan, which the council has previously approved, and also tied it in a line with the operating arrangements for Newry Leisure Centre. So essentially, your two key flagship centres will operate to the same hours on both sides of the district. So I don't propose to read all of the recommendations, Chair, but they're detailed within the report there.
Just one thing. We recently, for Newry, agreed a small closure for staff training. Presumably, we wouldn't close both leisure centres, even if it was a quiet time. We would have one open and one closed when there's training going on. So it was always an alternative, you know.
Well, that's something we can take into consideration. I know when we did look at the staff training days, hopefully we'll be using the opportunity to get all of the staff together as well. So depending on the type of training, it may have that impact, but hopefully we'll try and keep that to a minimum.
Proposed by Councillor Byrne, do we have a seconder? Councillor Taylor, all in agreement? Item 27 is for Noton.
Yes, Chair, this really is the leisure and sport marketing plan. It's to give members an update on what you previously approved as part of the indoor leisure business plan. And it's just really to seek approval from yourselves to continue to develop that, and the key areas is to refine and implement the marketing plan. A lot of the detail of the marketing plan is contained within the appendix, which you can see from that, the type of staff development we're going to be undertaking, the training, the various marketing campaigns, the different tools we'll be using, you know, in terms of lead generation, promotions, new identities, and also various types of marketing materials. So if I could ask for approval for that plan, Chair, if you appreciate that.
Proposed by Councillor Taylor. Do we have a seconder? Do we have a seconder for item 27? Councillor Trainer. Item 28, fitness suite operating arrangements. Rowan again.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Set out two key issues here for the committee to consider. One is the multi-site fitness suite membership access. That means that anyone who's a member of one facility can use it in other facilities. And then it's just to standardise the over 60s membership category, which has two different models across the district. Again, the recommendations here are clearly aligned to your indoor leisure business plan, and will facilitate the targets that we have set within that plan to be met. So the recommendations are that we do facilitate multi-site access to include Newry Sports Centre, which isn't currently there, and also that we proceed with option 3 for the memberships for the over 60s, which is a promotion of a new over 60s membership category at £15 a month, which is a new model which will be harmonising that category across the district.
Councillor Enright.
I didn't completely understand the ins and outs of the three options when I was reading this earlier. It looked to me like the over 60s at the moment was £3.60 a year, and now we're going to make it £15 a month. Did I misunderstand that? And if so, it sounds like a big jump up. And the over 60s, I presume, are the people we're targeting to get active.
Within your existing leisure infrastructure, you have two different models. The Newry Sports Centre, which, as we know, has currently been developed at this time, you don't have an over 60s gym category, so they have to pay the full £29.95 a month should they wish to use the gym, because we have a third party arrangement there. That third party arrangement is coming to an end. Within your other facilities, you have £3.60 a year for your over 60s, which is your gym, swim, and sauna. What we're proposing here is, with your new flagship facilities that have been developed, is a new rate which would harmonise one side of this against the other, to be pitched in the middle, and would be the cheapest within any other council area within Northern Ireland, and also Louth County Council neighbouring to Newry. So that's the officer's recommendations. We've set out the four options there. We believe that keeps it in line with the indoor leisure business plan recommendations.
Whilst I do appreciate the £15 is a reasonable sum, it from a person who is over 60 and paying £3 a year, it sounds like we're charging £5 more per month than we previously charged per year. And it doesn't. It sounds like a bit of a jump up, you know.
Sorry, in some facilities, yes, but in other facilities, no. Other facilities, you're currently paying £29.95 a month.
Councillor Quinn.
How will this impact on the rights of Kilkeel people?
Well, Kilkeel, I think there's detail within the appendix there. You can see the number of members who would use the fitness suite on the over 60s category. So it would have an additional cost to those members, but it would be less for members in Newry because they're paying the £29.95 a month. So we try to reach the middle ground.
So with no development to Kilkeel, we're just stopping the prices?
Well, I think at £3.60 a month is extremely good value, and at £15 a month we're bringing it into line with all the other council gyms.
Could you just repeat for us, sir, what you said about when you benchmarked it against the other councils, just so we know where we'd be if we went for £15?
Yep. So what we've done is we've done a research. So Armagh, Bambridge, Kilgavin is £3.30 a session, or £20 a month, or advance payments of £210, or advance payments of £250 if you want to use all of their facilities per year, or £24 a month. Lisburn Castlereagh, £21.50 per month. Ards and North Down, £24.99 a month. Antrim Newton Abbey, you have a residence card and then you pay per use, £4 per gym, £3.50 for spa and free swimming. Discount chest membership at £18 a month. Belfast, you have a residence card at £5. Activities free before 11 o'clock. And then you have a pay per entry, £1.60 for a swim, £2.10 for the gym, or £35.50 a month. Causeway Coast and Glens is over 65s at £19.99 a month, or £2.50 a swim, £4 per gym. Derry and Strabane, over 65s, £18.75 a month, plus over 65s free swimming. For Manor and Omagh, £18 per month for the gym only. Or you can have a casual use at £2.50 for a gym, £1.50 for swim. Mid-East stands from £8 yearly card, then £2.65 per visit, with certain free entry for between half 7 and 10, 3 days a week, and free gym 2 days a week between 2 and 5 o'clock. Mid-Ulster, £25 a month initial payment, and then £2.50 daily gym, or £29.95 a month. And Louth, over 65, £295 a year, or £4.20 daily gym. We will be the cheapest.
Sorry, have we already made a rule and no one will be getting in twice?
I'm not asking a question, I'm just sort of making a statement. Would it be possible that this increase could be phased in rather than hit seniors with this big increase?
Just one thing I would say is that we've written it within Appendix A and it details the implications of each option. For option 3, what we're saying, if anyone who was a current member of Kilkeel or any other centre currently paying the £3.60, which is paid on an annual basis, we're obviously going to honour that. So if they're a member and joined yesterday, they have a full year of that to run before they would have to pay the increased membership fee.
Councillor Burns has proposed that, and Mara has. No. I said you're getting in once on it, and that's it. Item 29 is for noting, and it's the license for the fishing rights at Donaghy Reservoir.
Yes, Chair, it's just really to extend that 1-year license agreement with the. It's previously been a 5-year license agreement. We're proposing to extend it for one further year.
Happy enough. Proposed by Councillor McFadden, second by Councillor Burns. 30 had been taken. Item 31. Request from Keep NI Beautiful for Eagle Schools Post Support Contribution.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful have asked if we could contribute £1,500 for sustaining the Eagle Schools scheme. We have done this in previous years, and we have made it is within the estimates to make this contribution, so we're just looking for approval to make that contribution.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
I would propose that, and totally agree with it. The Eco Schools work that they do is fantastic. It's a good learning for the kids, and as well as that, it's good moving forward for campuses recycling targets as well. So it's really good all round. It's good for getting the kids out there and getting involved and stuff and taking pride in their area. So totally recommend it.
Councillor Burns, or Councillor Taylor has seconded. Item 32 is for noting.
Sorry, I was looking to second that proposal, but also to suggest that the council identify the Eagle Schools within our area and try to support them with some of the environmental work that our council and other groups are trying to do, with the likes of our Keep Towns Tidy and different litter picks and all.
Sorry, Chair, I just could add on that. Every school in the district is registered. We have 56 schools with green flag status, 31 schools silver awards, 17 schools of bronze awards. So there is a lot of work being done. So.
Happy enough. Item 32 is almost taking us as for noting. There's no doubt. Item 33. Consultation response, UK Air Quality Plan.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, we had to make a consultation response regarding nitrogen dioxide and the UK Air Quality Plan. You'll see that, as with a lot of these things, the timescale was very tight. We've returned the consultation response on the understanding that it's subject to final council approval.
Opposed by Councillor Bonder, by the seconder. Councillor Taylor. Item 34 is for noting. It's a letter received from the Department for Communities, the Affordable Warm Home Scheme.
Chair.
Councillor Andrews.
Yes, first of all, in reply to this letter, the Affordable Warm Scheme. It is a very important scheme. It does provide much needed help to those who would need it the most, you know, and the sum that has been awarded is very paltry and doesn't go far enough. And I know that the decision making for this is out of our hands, and the responsibility lies with the folks on the hill, which at the moment is in cold storage, pardon the pun, but hopefully it'll get warmed up very soon. But hopefully, you know, sooner rather than later, you know, the executive is up and running, and a much needed funding can be released and secured for this affordable warm scheme. And also, a whole lot of other essential services right across the country that are crying out for cash at the moment. So, just to say, just like to voice my disappointment, and I'd like to make a proposal that we do write back to the department. I did not disappointment at this response.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Just to give members an update, there have been some developments since this letter, and we had a meeting with the EFC a couple of weeks ago. So the immediate targets have gone up, and they've given a bit more certainty to the scheme, and they hope to give certainty to the scheme for future years. target has gone up now to, I think it's 370, off the top of my head, 350 roundabout that we will get referring in this year. And I have strong hopes that within the next week or so, that target will increase again to up near the original level. So it is hopeful. So I think things have changed since they responded to the letter. So.
Happy enough? General Anders? Yes. Are we agreeing to write the letter? Councillor Brown has... That's okay. That's all in agreement. Could I now ask press to leave?
Just to ask him.
As this item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 2 of part 1. Could I have a proposer and a seconder before we go into committee? Right.
You got that there? Right.
This item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 2 of part 1 of schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014, information which is likely to reveal the identity of an individual and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business.
You're taking this, Michael?
Yes, sir. This item is for noting it's those decisions which I've taken under six headings under the scheme of delegation. So it is for noting, sir.
Yes. Right. Just for the tip, the scheme of delegation was noted, proposed by Councillor Kimmings and Councillor Enright and seconded by Councillor Brown.